You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Let's go to the scripture readings in Colossians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and starting with verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, as you know, Derek's out of town, so you're stuck with me this week. Let's go ahead and open up prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we pause now to thank you for your son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for the blessing we have in him, the forgiveness of sins, but the position in Christ. As we are complete in him, and he is the head, and we thank you that you've accomplished your purpose in Christ, and as we work it out here now in our walk, we pray that we would be glorifying your Son and doing his will and really be in tune with what you'd want us to do each and every day, Lord. We're needy people, and we pray for those in the assembly who are ill, and we miss them and hope they, again, to be strengthened, to be able to come back and fellowship with us, and those who are traveling, and those just in their lives have challenges, Lord. We all do, and we just we pray for your patience as we work these things out, and just glorify your Son Christ, and bless this lesson to your Son and his purpose for us in Christ, and we pray it for his sake. Amen. Well, normally I've been teaching almost since the first year, I guess so, with the Carter age kids back there. Been teaching on some fundamental things on dispensation, understanding, teaching, basically some of the foundational aspects of what we believe here. And thought I'd do that, some of those things with you. Some things may be repeat, some things may not be, but had some really interesting times already so far as we talk about certain important concepts that we all are faced with each and every day. Now, normally, I taught that class previously when I was out in the building and I had such a group this size. I normally would get everybody in the car and we'd go get like a drink and come back. So let's just all go get in the car and get an icy and come back. That way I'll have less time to fill up for you here. But no, seriously, when I sat down before I got into trying to get into the deep dispensational things of Scripture with a 10-year-old, where do you start? Do you start far above all principality and power? Do you start where we are now? Do you start in the beginning? Early on, I asked the group, this is Josh, Jacob, Carter, and others. I said, well, let's talk about the beginning. What's the definition of the beginning? And they're sitting there going, well, they're deep dispensational thinking. They were like, well, that's when it starts. I said, okay, well, let's get an example. How about the beginning of America? When did America start? Well, Josh, he starts going off into, the pilgrims and all this. I said, no, when did it start? What celebration do we have in July that we celebrate? Well, they said, okay, Declaration of Independence. So, 1776. I said, well, yeah, actually, did it start? Did America begin then? But then I said, okay, Josh, talk about what was going on before. He brought up a lot of activity, all the way from, the 1600s and then, literally Columbus finding the fact that there is land, and then he finds a new continent, and then ultimately the journey. I said, well, there's a lot of things going on before the beginning of America, right? A lot of activity. So we talked about the fact that before the foundation of the world, God was busy, and certain activities were going on. So, introducing, that was an example of introducing some of the concepts. So then I said, all right, let's talk about a word, and we just had A.J. Pillay in with a missionary from India, so I thought this was opportune. I said, give me the definition of religion. And they thought, quite quickly, and they came back and said, well, believing in Jesus. I said, well, that's interesting. Get the dictionary out. Let's open it up. Let's go to the word religion, and let's look at what that means. And the definition of religion says a belief and reverence in a supernatural power or powers regarded as creator and governor of the universe. It's a personal or institutionalized system grounded in such belief and worship. All right. A sect of beliefs, values, and practices based on teachings of a spiritual leader. Now, this is the dictionary's definition of religion. And I said, what's interesting about that, kids, is that there's nowhere in there does it mention Jesus. It talks about superpower or powers. So I said, what would you say then if someone says they're religious? Or someone might make a comment about, oh, well, you know, Carter, you're religious. What are they saying about you? So they go, religious. Well, what does that mean? That means, well, believing in Jesus. I said, okay, let's look at the definition of religious. So if religion says believing in something, then if you're religious, what do you do? It says, well, having, showing, or belief in a reverence for a god or a deity of concerned with or teaching religion, or extremely scrupulous or conscientious, religious, devoted, and duty. But so again, religious doesn't have in there in the definition Jesus Christ anywhere, does it? Isn't that interesting? I said, you know, if you look at the world today, and we saw someone from a different part of the world, from India, and we talked about, we had the map of the wall, and we showed it. I said, there are lots of religions in the world today. And these religions may believe in a superpower. I said, well, you can draw a line. I said, okay, on the board I drew, here's God, and then I drew a gap or chasm, and I said, here's man. Now, on the left side of the whiteboard, I drew, here's a bunch of people that don't even believe in a God. Or here's a bunch of people that don't even know if there is a God. And here's a bunch of people that believe that they either, when they die, they come back either as an animal or somebody else. So there's a bunch of people that believe like that. As a matter of fact, I have some of the statistics here. It says here that of the religious world population in 2000, these are, you know, 2000 numbers, it talked about 33% of the world are identified as Christians. They also made a note that that's about 2 billion people. And again, obviously, these are, you know, an aggregation of numbers. It then showed that those numbers were declining, that those who call themselves Christians are declining. The next largest were Muslims, or Islam, Muslims and Hindus. And Muslims are showing here almost at 20% and Hindus at 14%, both of which are on the rise. Okay. And then there's a big group of secular, non-religious, agnostic atheists, and this is about 850 million or a billion people. Basically state that they don't believe there is a God or don't know there is a God. I said, now, if you look at these, and I explained to the children, I said, these are religions. Is there a belief in something? We have something a lot more specific than that, right? And I said, what we have is a belief in Christ Jesus. And not only do we have it, we know that the difference between all these religions and what we believe in is a risen Savior. He was nailed to a cross, but yet he rose again. And through that, we are identified with a resurrected body and we have the forgiveness of sins. And I said, of all the other religions in the world and all the things that they believe, I mean, if you look at Islam, they go look at the Quran or the Hadith. Hinduism reads the Veda. Buddhism reads the Tripitaka. Again, I'm sure I'm botching the names here. There are all these religious scripts and all these people they follow, but we yet serve a risen Savior. And I said, that is a huge difference, Carter. Now, I said, all right, let's talk then about if in religion we're in the Christian category. All right, well, we're in the 33% category. We're doing pretty good, aren't we? But I said, let me tell you this, boys. I said, what if we go to Brahms or Marble Slab? Not that we ever go there, mind you. Hypothetically, if we were to go get ice cream, what when we walk in, is there just one flavor? And they said, oh no, there's chocolate, and I like chocolate, and they got into the flavors, right? I said, well, that's right. Well, let's say that the ice cream store is Christianity, And when you walk in, there's all kinds of flavors, and I equated those to denominations. I said, you have denominations, you have a, you could start naming all the way from Baptist to Methodist to Presbyterian to, you know, Lutheran, all the way to Catholic. It's funny, when I got to Catholic, they were like, well, that's evil, that's satanic. I said, no, that's not true, that's not fair. But what each of these flavors have are different attributes to them. I said, now, you know, for instance, I like German chocolate ice cream. What, you know, that has nuts in it and coconut, and I like that, those attributes. So that's my personal preference. I said a lot of people shop churches for personal preference, either on visual things or singing or, you know, more traditional things. And, oop, I said that word traditional. I said, let's talk about the word tradition. Now, what do you all think of when you hear the word tradition? And some of them said Christmas, you know. I said, well, that's a good one. Let's talk about that. I said, all right, Christmas tradition. I said, we have tradition here. I said, what do we do when we come to Northside Bible Church and we sit down? What's one of the first songs that we sing? His Name is Wonderful. I said, that's right. That's a Northside Bible Church tradition. That's a tradition that we do. I said, I've got to take Christmas. You brought that up. I said, all right, let's talk about Christmas tradition. Do we open presents 5 days before Christmas? No, nobody thought that was silly. When do we open it up? Well, we open on Christmas Day. Okay, that's our Christmas tradition. What do other people do? They normally put up lights, right? You know, they decorate the tree. They do. So there's some tradition, right? Well, what's the difference between good tradition and bad tradition? Well, I don't know. Is there such a thing? Well, yeah, there is. Well, the definition of tradition in the dictionary, going back to the dictionary, the passing down of elements of a culture from generation to generation. It says especially by oral communication. The way my dad did it, pass it on to me. A mode of thought or behavior followed by a people continuously from generation to generation, a custom or usage. A set of customs and usages viewed as a coherent body of precedents influencing the present. An example, followed family tradition and dress and manners, right? All right, well, no, that sounds particularly evil. You know, this is passed down, and there's a lot of word family in there, passed down, family tradition, passed down. So what is it that we look at? Well, I went back to the ice cream store. I said, traditionally, I go in there and I get, you know, usually if it's at Marble Slab, you know, I might get something healthy like butter pecan with pecans. My tradition. When you look at that, I said, if you look at in Christianity and you look at all these different denominations, big word, but I said, look at all these denominations. What has happened is that at some point in time, some people started a tradition in interpreting Scripture a certain way. And they eventually formed what's called a denomination. And we basically have tradition passed down in that denomination. And I had a perfect opportunity. I said, Cardi, recently you went to your cousin's church. And it was an Episcopal church. I said, now, was anything unusual about that? Oh, yeah. Really weird. Well, why was it weird? What was the deal? Well, you know, they up and down, you know, they lighting things, or, you know, people, you know, reading ceremoniously, and then ultimately go to the Sunday school part. And I said, okay. Well, that's their tradition. That's their denomination. That's their tradition. I said, now let me give you a test. At any point in time, did they get the Bible out and did they have you read the Bible? He thought a minute. No, they did not. Okay. Then did at any point in time, did the teacher get the Bible out and open the Bible and teach from the Bible to you? No, they did not. Okay. Well, now let me introduce to you the concept of good tradition and bad tradition. Good tradition is getting into the Word of God. Bad tradition is doing everything but getting into the Word of God. If you find yourself in a church or a denomination that doesn't get into the Holy Scriptures or isn't teaching from the Holy Scriptures, then you have a litmus test there for something that's teaching you bad tradition. And what do we do at Northside Bible Church when we usually start teaching? We go straight to the Scriptures. So I said, but I thought this was a good question. They immediately said, well, what are we? You know, what's our tradition? Are we the NFC or the AFC? You know, are we Big 12 or what are we? I said, well, we're non-denominational Bible church. What does that tell you? We don't believe in a particular denomination's tradition, and we focus on the Bible, and we believe in Christ Jesus as a risen Savior. And those are the believing in Christ, number one, and getting right straight to the Scriptures and studying His Word, number two, are the most important things about this Bible, non-denominational Bible church. Big words, but that is exactly what we do here at Northside Bible Church. So, as we looked at that, okay, well, we're non-denominational. I said, now, you know, some of you go to a school sponsored by Baptists. And I said, again, the Baptists will have their tradition. You know, some denominations we have more in agreement with than others. But in the body of Christ, we know that we're to keep everybody focused on Christ Jesus and the Word. So if you ever come across a tradition that you may not agree with, you got to go back to the Word and work it out there. Because that's where you're going to be able to resolve these things. Some things are real easy. You know, when you don't, they don't even use the Word in their traditions that are being taught. All right, so we talked to them about the world population, the different fact, all these different religions and traditions. I said, let's go to some scripture on this. Go to Galatians chapter 1, start at verse 11. Now here's the Apostle Paul to the Galatians reading, where he's writing. In Galatians 1:11, he starts, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Neither I received it of man, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now here he's saying, look, I got a body of truth directly from Christ himself. And he also clarified it wasn't from man. It wasn't from, you know, remember the definition of tradition? It wasn't passed down from man. Here is directly from Christ. Verse 13, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the what traditions of my fathers." So let's go back to that, what we heard, learned about traditions being passed down, right? Setting precedents. Now here's Paul's boasting the fact that when he in the Jews' quote religion was really zealously following their tradition, he was persecuting Christians. There's someone steep and deep in tradition right there. But look at, you know, verse 15. Here's what Michael Penny would say, one of the, you know, famous buts in Scripture, right? One of my famous lines that he said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He spent 3 years directly with Christ, not getting tradition, but getting the Word of God, you know, spoon-fed. Okay? This is how powerful that was. And but of other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things that I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he persecuted us in times past, now preaches the faith which he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Here is an example of where Paul points out where he was once in steep in tradition, and then he got out of it and started in a new direction based on what saith the Lord. All right, well, that's a good example. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting verse 1. Now, in the context here, we have Paul writing to the Thessalonians, talking about the end times, talking about deceiver to come to deceive all. Well, let's just go ahead and read it, and we'll kind of see what we're talking about here. He says, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together under Him, that be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, of whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them very strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now that the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Interesting passage here. Here we see the day of Christ. We see a lot of the workings of Satan coming, lots of deceivableness, unrighteousness. We see strong delusions. We see lies. What does he encourage them to do in verse 15? Hold on to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Well, I remember we talked about, you know, was tradition all bad? No, we said, okay, tradition is the passing down of something. We've got good tradition, bad tradition. We saw Paul in the previous talk about he was steeped in the wrong tradition. Now we have something told to be, hold on. Now, look at the clarification, though. Hold the traditions which you have been taught. What were these traditions taught by? Whether by what? Word or epistle, or our epistle. If a tradition is based on Scripture, this is what he seems to be encouraging them to hold on to. Hold on to the Word of God, right? Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. It's that Word that, when it's based in the Word, it seems to be make tradition right on. Now, you can take tradition, you can take the Word and take it out of context and build tradition around it, and you're still in trouble. How could that be? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 15. We'll start at verse 1. Now we're in the Gospels. Now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's basically here teaching. And then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands, and they... when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. This is always the problem. Now, scribes and Pharisees are at the time the religious, Jewish religious leaders present among the Jewish religion at that time. And there's a big time problem when you have the leaders of a Jewish religion steeped in tradition, that it's so steep that it makes the commandment of God of no effect. He goes on to say, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God always seems to look upon the heart. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. So their tradition is based on doctrines and the commandments of men, and not on the Bible. So let's go back to that litmus test about, you know, am I in the right church or not? Am I in a good situation where I'm pleasing God and doing the right thing or not? Well, or am I in a place that honors the Lord with their mouth and their lips. Is it visual? Is it religious? Is it appealing to the flesh? Are we in the same boat here that the Lord told them, these religious leaders, that the tradition that they've established has made the Word of God of none effect? I think we could be in many situations where we could say that's true. But we should not. You know, Mark, you don't have to go there, but Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 13 talks about the same tradition of those Jewish elders. Let's go to our scripture reading, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. See, we're buried with him in baptism. We're raised with him through the operation of faith. Whatever tradition it is that the world would want to put in our mind's eye to take our mind off of Christ, it's got to be straight from Satan. Whenever we look at this passage and we talk about the completeness of Christ, it says that for him, we are complete too. There's no religious ceremony that I have to perform to be complete. I'm complete. We saw in verse 12 there. I'm buried with him in baptism. I'm risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And in me, putting my emphasis on me, see, and you could do that too, in me being dead in my sins and the uncircumcision of my flesh hath quickened together with him. He's having forgiven me all my trespasses. He brought it out the handwriting of ordinances that was against me, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. He triumphed over them in doing this resurrection. Therefore, let no man judge me in meat and drink or respect of a holy day or new moon or Sabbath days, which these things are all a shadow. But the body is of Christ. The substance there is of Christ. I shouldn't be beguiled here and voluntarily worship angels. Chapter 3. If I'm risen with Christ, I'm to seek those things which are above. I'm to set affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Boy, that's hard to do when you're 10, or 39, or 41, 40 in a month. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because, you know, tradition of where we live, I mean, we have tradition all around us. We're swimming in it. Not just church, but tradition of how we work, how we entertain ourselves, how we communicate with others. Tradition. But we're to put on the new man. Verse 10. Which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's renewed in the knowledge of the Scripture. It's renewed in getting into the Word of God. And what a blessing that is. We're in verse 16. We're to let the Word in Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not as to men. So many times in tradition, don't we do things to honor men? You bet we do. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Start at verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. So here we have the context of this passage. It's the revelation of Christ Jesus. It's the word given to Israel right before the potential of the revelation starting. as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. You know, the context given to Israel is one thing, but the incredible eternal truth here is what jumps out the page at me, that this precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was before ordained before the foundation of the world. You know, the Godhead figured out before the foundation of the world that the blood of Christ was going to be required in order to solve that gap. Remember I told you about the gap? That here's man, and here's God, and there's a chasm or gap between the two. And the only way to get across that gap is through the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. And it says even here, from a tradition perspective, you can't be redeemed from tradition passed down by your fathers. You could only be redeemed by Christ Jesus himself. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Sorry, chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, you know, in my way, of course, I said, would you guys please define for me mediator? Well, that, you know, they were like, well, that's a little rock that flies in space and, you know, has a trail with it. No, that's meteor. Mediator. You know, and I often thought about, I was at a basketball game this week, and Carter's playing, and Clayton looks at me and says, can I have a decorate? I'm like, decorate? What are you talking about? Can you want to decorate? Well, he couldn't say the word Gatorade, so the closest he could come up was, can I have a decorate? You know, it's all in the verbiage, right? The one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Okay, I said, here, let's say we wanted to buy a house. Now, there's an owner of that house who's put it on the market. And do we go knock on the door and talk to the owner? And the only reason they knew this is because we were house looking last summer, so they realized that. They said, no, we talked to a realtor. I said, okay. So the owner of the house has hired a realtor to mediate between the buyer, us, and the seller, them. So the realtor is a mediator, a go-between. If someone's in the middle, we talk to the realtor. I said, now in this example, the house is heaven. God is the owner. And Christ Jesus is the realtor. And the only way to get through the house is through the realtor in Christ Jesus. Maybe somewhat of an okay, you know, all the realtors out there will thank me for that analogy, right? But at least got the point. I said there's a mediator, and that mediator is the man Christ Jesus. There is no other mediator, okay? There is no other real estate agency out there other than, you know, Christ Jesus real estate agency when you're talking the subject of eternal life in the heavenlies far above with Christ and God the Father. So I said, if we were to end on a tradition, if you have a tradition, if you perpetuate a tradition, let it be the tradition of Christ in your heart and the testimony of Christ Jesus in your heart and the testimony of the fact that you believe in the Bible and that you study the Bible and that your walk is from the Bible. Let that be your tradition. Let not it be the tradition of men or of a denomination. Let it be Christ richly held in our heart as we perpetuate the tradition of, praise God, we serve a risen Savior. And He's in my heart today, and I pray He's in yours too. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Word of God where it gives us example of tradition, both good and bad, and that the good tradition is the tradition based in Scripture, and that's focused on Christ Jesus, that it keeps His Word in our heart. And a word that keeps us on the right path as we walk and be pleasing in your sight, Lord. We thank you for all that you accomplish and continue to do. We pray that we would be sensitive to your calling and want to be a part of your program each and every day, Lord. And we just thank you for the Christ who's forgiven us for our sins and that we are complete in him. And just what a glorious thought that always is to dwell on, Lord. And just thank you for all that you've done for us. In Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.